did it for you. I did it for you. Yeah. Yeah. I did it for you. That's why I did it, y'all. For all the listeners, did it for you. Whoever been hearing this. Yeah. That's why I do what I do. I do it for you. I do it for you. I do it for you.
In Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful, Father, that in our entire lives we can live in alignment with your Spirit, Father. We can experience abundant life and the adventure, Father, which you put each and every one of us here for. And Lord, right now, Father, as we would spend some time in your Word, as we would spend some time in your presence, as, Lord, we would just seek your face, Father, we ask and pray that your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth would lead and guide us at this time. Father, I acknowledge openly that the only good thing in me is your Holy Spirit. So to your Spirit I yield. And Father, we bind every demonic force of the devil, every work of the enemy that seeks to confuse, that seeks to take people off into tangents. Lord, we just break all of that right now. And Father, we pray a quickening, Lord, among your people. Father, to that which is real, that which is important, that which is you, Father, that you, the Good Shepherd, would keep us on the right path, Lord, according to your plan, purpose, and unto your glory, Father. So, Lord, we pray this morning your kingdom come and your will be done as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let it be. Amen. You know, listening to, you know, people's testimonies, it's always encouraging. Because we definitely see that God is actively involved in all of our lives in different ways. And you think about it, how different of a life each and every one of us has. Every one of us has an amazingly different life, even in this room. I mean, think about it. The experience that you have going through a day-to-day basis, what you deal with on a day-to-day, is very different than what someone else is dealing with. So, a pregnancy over here, and every day, what that experience feels like going through, even the day, how your body feels. And people with family problems, and some child is acting up, and some grandmother is doing this, and some grandfather is doing that. And someone has dreams and hopes, and those are happening right now, and they're all warm and fuzzy inside. They feel great. And then everyone's getting a little bit older every day. Some people are gaining some weight, some people are losing some weight. Some people are cleaning up their act, and some people are just going this grease pole the wrong way. But everyone is having a different experience in your time here in this world, and it's different for everyone, and your experience is changing. So the experience of life you have this year is very different than the experience of life you had last year, will be different than the experience of life you have the next year. So now in the middle of all of that, we just had a few minutes where people were talking about how in the middle of all of those things, in the middle of their concerns and their cares and their worries and the things that are on their mind, how God is actively involved in their lives. Then And in areas where there's things of need for provision or guidance or protection or healing or anything, God is there meeting the need of His people. So for us, we can be encouraged in knowing that. But also, it's a time to stop and ask also the bigger questions that are there. You know, when I think back to some of the stuff from the just even Jesus' time walking around the world, how many people ran up to Jesus because they had a problem or they had an issue, but they just wanted to get a solution to that so they could go back to their life in the world? You remember the 10 lepers? So 10 of them came up. Jesus told them, go and show yourself to the priest. On the way, all 10 were healed. One of them comes back. And Jesus asks, where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? No, they got what they wanted, which was, they didn't want a relationship with Jesus. What they wanted was a quick fix to their problem so they can go back to their life in the world. And there was 1 in 10 in that situation who actually wanted to connect with his Savior after the fact. Now, this is the reality of life in this world. The majority of people are wrapped up in the illusion of what this life, they think this life is. And people go day in and day out in all of kinds of activities and rarely stop and ask the questions that we should be spurred on to looking even around us. People go through day-to-day things just wrapped up in the world they're in. And they rarely will stop and ask the bigger questions. You know, sometimes when people ask the bigger questions, it's usually when something really terrible happens. So when someone in the family dies, or there's an accident, or some kind of health scare, or somebody disappears, or the bank that you had your money in closes and now you don't know what to do, something that shakes your reality, and then people stop and ask the questions. And because questions that would cut to the core of who you were, you should have asked them a long time ago, but it took something traumatic to ask that question. You know, if somebody's asleep, if someone's sleeping, I have family members that sleep really well. If somebody's in deep sleep, and you have to go somewhere, they have to come with you. Sometimes you it's not just the... You have to... Something. You have to do something very dramatic to get them even to move. To wake them up out of the illusion. And sometimes they go back to sleep. A lot of times they go back to sleep. The 10 lepers, 9 went back to sleep. One woke up. Okay. Questions that people should be asking, especially at this phase in where we are in the world this day. I'll give you a few. You can think about these ones. Okay. What is this journey of life all about? What is this journey of life all about? This something you should be thinking about. You should be asking. Why are we in this life? Why am I in this life? Where am I in time? Where am I in what God is doing right now? Who is Jesus in all of this? It's an important question. Because a lot of people have made Jesus something they want him to be, and then not who he is. Okay, what is really important? You know, in times of crisis, people start to ask that again. My parents, I remember there was a time in the States, a very close friend that died, and they were drove to the funeral. And on the way back, they were talking the whole time about, you know, what's really important in life, because they weren't expecting that friend to die. Not then. And they were talking about things like, you know, what do we really need in this life? What's really important? Okay, Acts chapter 4. A little bit of a setup there, getting into this. Acts chapter 4. You know, and then I want to also stay on this one about who is Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Okay. Verse 10 says, actually, let me start at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught by you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Okay. So now Peter, having gone through a transition, having gone through a change in his journey of life,
දැන් මේ ක්‍රියාන හේතුස් කියන කෙනා මේ වෙනකොට ඔහුගේ ජීවිතයේ යම් කිසි පරිවර්තනයක්
We talked about how things can be very different for you one year to the next. Things were very different for Peter about 50 days before this. When they asked him, who's this? Oh, you were with Jesus? Back then, and Peter's like, oh, I don't know the guy, right? But what a difference the Holy Spirit makes. What a difference the Holy Spirit makes in the life of any person that's aligned with God. This same man that was calling down curses and scared of a servant girl is now standing before the very people that were the ones that rejected Christ and giving them the straight truth head to head. And in the middle of all of that too, the power of God having flowed through these people to do the very same works that Jesus was doing, which was healing the sick, raising the dead, as natural signs of a spiritual reality that was taking place. Now, in this whole sequence of events that's taking place, he's also dealing with how they saw Jesus. He's dealing with, they had a way that they saw who Jesus was. See, there is actual reality, and then there is a perceived reality. And the way that you and I see something can be very different, but in the end there has to be one way that it really truly is. And what it really truly is, that is truth. So for example, when they were during that time expecting a Messiah to come along, they were expecting someone to come as a conquering king to raise up the people to free them from Roman occupation. Because think about it, they said, okay, here's the prophecy of Daniel, all the way back at Daniel chapter 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so you have the rock that comes and crashes and smashes and fills the whole earth. And so this kingdom is going to go fill the whole earth. So God is going to make this kingdom. And so we're looking for this conquering king to take over the whole world. It's right there in the Bible, brother. Don't you see it? God said it's going to happen right there. Yes? Oh, that's my preacher voice. So God said right here, and so now we have our timeline, and now 40 years from now we have to... Yeah. Right? You guys didn't know I had that preacher voice, did you? Okay. But Jesus didn't come the way they expected him to come. Jesus didn't show up the way they expected him to show up. He didn't show up with political ambition. Oh, think back to Luke chapter 4. If he wanted to be the rock that smashed and filled the whole earth, he could have done it just like that, because he would have gotten all the kingdoms of the world in just one little knee bow. In fact, how many people would say, oh look, God said, I am going to be the rock that smashes and fills the whole earth, and look here, it must be the prophecy being fulfilled, because right now I'm being offered the whole thing if I just bow my knee, so this must be something I need to do. Wait, why not? Yeah? Wait. No, because there's also truth involved in this whole thing. And a consistent truth throughout all of time, all of scripture, eternity at large, is thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Go back to Exodus chapter 20. You shall have no other gods before him. So there is truth involved in all of this. There's a standard that God put in place that's involved in all of this. Now, Jesus didn't show up the way they expected him to show up. And because he didn't come the way that they thought he should come, they missed him. In fact, they didn't just miss him, they killed him. Think about it. You're waiting for this Messiah to show up, and now when he shows up, they kill him. Where is this? It's like, you know, it's like people that are waiting for to get married. They're waiting for the perfect person to show up, and then when the perfect person would show up, they come slap them. Incidentally, there's no perfect people but Jesus, so we'll get rid of that one right now. Okay, Mark chapter 7, but keep your finger in Acts, but Mark chapter 7. I was curious, why would they reject him? Okay. And verse 6 says, he answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Okay, so they reject the commandment of God, they reject who God is in exchange for their tradition. In exchange for their ritual. In exchange for a substitute that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. Now, here, go to John chapter 3. I'm bouncing around a little bit. But John chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God." 18 through 21.
දැනටම විනිශ්චය කරන ලද සිටි විනිශ්චය නම් මෙය ලෝකයට ආලෝකයේ පැමිණ සිටින බව මනුෂ්‍යගේ ක්‍රියා නපුරු බැවින් හෝ ආලෝකයට වඩා අන්ධකාරයට ඇතුළු වූ බවය නපුරුකම් කරන සෑම දෙනම ආලෝකයට වෛර වී තමුගේ ක්‍රියා වැරදි බව ඔප්පු නොවන පිණිස ආලෝකයට නොඑති නමුත් සැබෑව කරන්නා තමාගේ ක්‍රියා දෙවියන් වහන්සේ තුළ කළ බව ප්‍රකාශ වෙන පිණිස ආලෝකයට එන්නේ යයි කිසි.
Okay, so you have to overlay these one on top of the other, and then you start to see what's going on. No desire for light and truth. No desire. It says here, men, in verse 19, men love darkness rather than light. And it says because their deeds were evil, but they love darkness. And go back to and Mark, tradition. They will take the traditions of men over the true word of God. Now, John chapter 17 verse 3 says that now this is life eternal, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son whom you sent, Jesus Christ, right? This is important because people will go back into a world where filled with darkness. And in this situation here, the people that should have been the one place which would have been giving people life or pointing them the way to God, they themselves rejected truth as well because they love darkness as well. Jesus went through a whole sequence of where he said, "Woe unto you Pharisees," and then he went through a whole bunch of them. He says, one of the reasons too, woe unto them, he says, you shut up the kingdom of God from those that want to enter in, you don't go in and you keep other people out. So what happens? You have somebody that has a hungry heart. They want to know God. And they're lost and they're broken and they've had all these terrible experiences in life and they're calling out and they're like, "God, are you there?" And they see these places that have a form of godliness, right? And they look good on the outside. They have the robes and they have the hats and they have the symbols and all of those things. Everything. They have everything. They have all of the stuff and they go in. And in that situation, what they're given is the traditions of men. Given dead ritual. And they go back under the curse of the law, which is you needed a man to get to God. They have, here is a person that now must approve who you are before God. Alright, go back to Acts again now. Acts chapter 4. Promise you we'd get back to that. Okay. Acts chapter 4, he says, but verse 10 says, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Okay, so this Jesus didn't show up the way they thought he should. In fact, when he showed up, he began to destroy all of the man-made traditions, not the law. He came to fulfill the law, but he was destroying the man-made traditions because he was moving in the power of God and yet not following their traditions. You know, that's a very dangerous thing for the establishments when someone moves in the power of God and yet doesn't follow the traditions. So when the traditions have been established that this is how you are a good whatever, and then someone is not following those traditions like Jesus, and yet God's blessing and power and spirit is on that person. So here's John the Baptist out in the wilderness and he's eating locusts and wild honey and he's got honey dripping off of his beard and he's preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So John shows up neither eating nor drinking. Then Jesus shows up eating and drinking. So Jesus is making wine for the wedding and spending time with all of the bad people. And preaching the truth, and people are waking up and turning their lives over to God and getting lined up with Him. And tax collectors are like Zacchaeus. Today salvation has come to this house, and prostitutes are realizing that they have not been thrown away, but they have immeasurable value in the eyes of God. And then every time somebody lines up with the Spirit of God, all of a sudden now the power of God is flowing into that person's life and touching the lives of other people around them. And what is the world's response every time in those situations? Same thing like happened to Jesus in Luke chapter 4. If they can't get you to bow, kill them. If you won't bow your knee to the system and take your place in the system of the world and be a slave to it, then you must be killed. And if they can't kill you, marginalize you, do everything they can to keep anything and everything away from you that could possibly be good in this life. And in the middle of all of that, we thank and praise God because you have His promises with you, His Spirit comforts you and strengthens you, and you've been put on an amazing adventure. And for us, for those that walk with the Spirit of God, now this it's a point of coming into who you are made to be as an eternal being. There's really one major thing you and I need to do. Which is, we bow our knee to the King of Kings. We receive the connection that comes from Him. And then we desire in ourselves to align with the Spirit of God so that our heart, our mind, our soul, our body, our whole being is in alignment with Him. And out of that alignment, we live life. So whatever He says, wherever He sends us, whatever we have to do, we do it in connection with the Spirit of God, and we live an amazing adventure while we're here. And because our lives are not in this world, and this world is not our home, when we leave, we leave here with grateful hearts because we just came here on vacation anyways. But since you're on vacation, don't spend your vacation in the hotel room. Get out, trust God, do whatever He shows you. Allow God to put a dream in your heart and dream big. Or let Him focus your thinking and really just do something in connection with Him that He's put inside of you. See, Jesus in John 10:10, one of my favorite scriptures there too, He came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Why do I like that? Because it's not just so that you are alive, but that you really, truly live. You know, there's no life in the traditions of man. There's no life in dead ritual. No, serious. Have you ever if you stop, take a step back and just look at it and say, okay, why are you doing that thing? Is there any life in it? Is Jesus in that? If you stop and ask just that question, you then get an answer. I had a friend of mine one time told me, he said, Govinda, you know the definition of insanity. He said, you know the definition of insanity. What it means to be insane? Pisu. He said, to do the same thing over and over and over again, and then to expect at some point to get a different result. Now, God will direct His people, yes? But there are things that are in this world that are dead works, that have nothing to do with Him. You can't find them in Scripture. And even if there's something that's there, the way that it's practiced is a system of social control and not in relationship with God. So like when Jesus was talking about the Sabbath, and Jesus told the guy, pick up your mat and go, walk with it on the Sabbath. Why? After he healed him. So he heals a man, tells him to pick up his mat and walk on the Sabbath. For just one reason. Which was to mess with their tradition. No other reason whatsoever. Except to show that the power of God is manifest and it does not approve of the tradition that you have. Because Jesus, in the end, what He wanted people to do is scrap the dead works and come into an authentic relationship with your Creator. Leave those dead things aside and come before God with openness and honesty of heart and let Him fill you and cleanse you, make you whole and give you a life. And Jesus had to cut through these things because there were so many people that were bound in fear about what these traditions were and what they meant. Because nobody wanted to go to hell for carrying their mat. Think about it. No one wanted to go to hell for carrying their mat. And there were a group of people that were standing there saying, you're going to go to hell for carrying your mat. And when somebody's walking away with the mat, and they're like, who told you could carry your mat? And and the one who healed him. The one who came into this illusion and showed that he had power over all things, and that he broke all of those things, and that he was the one in control. And he said, forget the tradition, just connect with God. You see, one thing that happens when you have a direct connection with the Father and you're living in that, if there's something that needs to change, if there's something that He needs to speak to you on, He will speak to you on that. He will get the message to you if you want that. So if you have problems in a particular area of your life, God will speak to you if you want Him. So if you have bitterness and anger and resentment in your heart, God will, if you want to be in connection with Him, He'll show you this is an obstacle and here's what to do with it. Problems with drugs, alcohol, some kind of a substance abuse where you're abusing your body. He'll speak to you. He'll show you. People with all kinds of sexual problems, sexual behavior, whatever. God will speak to those people. It's not something that you have to control somebody for. It's something that the Spirit of God will inside them, because the kingdom is within, Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, right? The Spirit of God will speak to that person within that desires to walk in connection with Him. He will speak and show them this is the way forward to the abundant life I've called you into. And whatever it is, the power of God is also there, just like it was for Peter in Acts chapter 4, to change him from what he was to what God desired for him to be. And we go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Because we follow the Good Shepherd and He strengthens and empowers and builds up and fills His sheep. And with that, time is going so fast, so we'll stop there for today.